League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by PackersNews.com and JS Online. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein here in Indianapolis, where, Spoon, we have just wrapped up the 2022 NFL Combine. I hear tell that there were some prospects in the building, but it seemed like the only name that was consistently on everyone's lips was Aaron Rodgers. Did it feel like not only the Green Bay Packers, but the NFL is not going to be able to move on with this offseason until there's a Rodgers decision?
Yeah, I didn't know that he was being drafted again because he was like the number one name.
He was on every TV.
Yeah.
Every conversation.
Yep. And it was just, it was surprising how many people were talking about it here. I'm talking about executives and scouts and anybody I ran into, you know. So what's going on there with Rodgers? Is he getting traded, you know? And part of the fact that nobody knows is really explains what the situation is. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure the Packers don't know. I think they're preparing for both possibilities, that he leaves or he goes. I'm sorry, leaves or he stays.
He leaves or he, yeah.
Sorry.
Could be leaves or goes, yeah. Who knows. When you say that it feels like the Packers doesn't even know, I feel like people would probably roll their eyes and scoff at that and say, there's no way they don't have some idea. But you talk to a lot of people with the Packers this week. Do you feel like you can confidently say they really have no idea?
I'm pretty confident. I've talked to enough people who know people or talked to Packers coaches or front office people, and the message they keep getting is, well, they're just waiting. Mm-hmm. And they'll know when they know. And, you know, you keep seeing this report from NFL Network that they're negotiating a contract in case he stays. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, yeah, they have to do that. They have to prepare. Mm-hmm. It's really going to just come down to Rodgers' decision. Now, I think if you asked people to come down on which side, I 75 to 80, maybe more than that, would say he's coming back.
Right.
And that's my gut feeling, too, that he's coming back. But there's so much that comes with that that is going to force the Packers. It's going to paint the picture of what the offseason looks like.
For the entire league.
Yeah, it will. It could do. That's true. You know, it could start a quarterback carousel, or it could be the only quarterback who moves. I don't know. But there's a lot of teams hungry for quarterbacks. And so if Rodgers tells the Packers on whenever, let's just pretend it's Tuesday, that he doesn't want to come back, then boom. Then the bidding starts and, you know, the machinery starts to spin.
You know, that's actually a really good point, because we've talked a couple of times about how it feels like the Packers don't have any leverage here, because part of the allure of trading someone away is being like, well, we could keep them, so what are you willing to give us for us to give them up?
Right.
But if you know Rodgers wants to leave. But that's a good point, that it could still start a bidding war, which could still be advantageous to the Packers.
Yeah, and well, the leverage belongs to Rodgers because, one, he could retire, but let's say he doesn't want to. He's got a huge cap number, you know, $46 million cap number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't really have to help them out with the cap. So then they're like, okay, so if he says, I don't want to play here, and they say, well, tough, you have to play here. Well, then they're sitting there with a $46 million cap number, mm-hmm. and that doesn't do them any good. So, yeah, if he says he doesn't want to go, the Packers' leverage lessens. Mm-hmm. It's just, can they get you need two teams mm-hmm. to want to bid, and that'll kick up the bidding. But, you know, if they could get three or four, that's probably ideal.
One person that we don't feel like there's going to be a lot of bidding on, walking out of Indianapolis this week, feeling pretty confident that Devontae Adams will be on the Packers next year somehow, some way, right? And franchise tag is due Tuesday. It feels like that's going to be put on Devontae Adams, you would say?
I'm not sure. No, I am sure about the franchise tag, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not 100% sure that he'll be on the team. If Aaron Rodgers is here, then he will be here in some way mm-hmm. or shape. If Aaron Rodgers isn't here, then I don't know if he's here. Then, they have the franchise tag on him. They can probably keep him at that franchise tag number, but they're going to want to do a long-term deal. I would say without Rodgers, then the landscape changes.
Speaking of Adams, this is a pretty incredible wide receiver class, at least on paper. They tore up their 40 times on Thursday night. Is this just that part of the offseason where you can start to develop a little crush on a wide receiver and look at the 40 times and look at the measurables and think, oh, he could change everything? And how dangerous is it to do that?
Yeah, it is dangerous to do that. I mean, if you've got a guy, well, the perfect example was Metcalf with mm-hmm. Seattle. And so you had half the league that was drooling over the prospects of him. Mm-hmm. And then the other half saying, oh boy, he's got a neck injury. Mm-hmm. He's all testing numbers. Let's back off. And in this case, Seattle was right. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to be a good player. And everybody else was wrong. But I think it kind of cuts both ways like that. So you see a guy run a 4.38, and you're like, ooh. You know, John Ross ran that 4.22, and Cincinnati took him in the first round, and he was a bust.
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful. What you have to go down to, what it has to come down to is what you see on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did in his games, in the Senior Bowl, if he played in the Senior Bowl, what he does in the drills, and then if he's got that speed to go with it, then, hey, you know, you're all over it. But, you know, which would you rather have, like a really fast guy who maybe isn't that great a route runner, or Justin Jefferson?
Right.
You know, I think you'd take Justin Jefferson every time. Same with Devontae Adams,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's kind of what their dilemma is.
Wow, that is a very good point and should be the foundational belief in drafting a receiver. Is there still going to be a need for speed? That sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Is there still going to be a need for speed on this Packers team and this receiving core with the possibility of losing MVS or just needing to supplement Devontae in a different way? Do you still need someone that can be your straight line downfield guy?
I think so. I think you have to have some uh-huh. speed. I think you can't go into a season with Amari Rodgers, mm-hmm. Alan Lazard, Juwan Winfrey, mm-hmm. Malik Taylor as your receivers
mm-hmm.
opposite Devontae Adams. They do need to find some speed mm-hmm. or a guy who's just got really good, is really good off the line of scrimmage mm-hmm. and maybe isn't a speed burner, but is like a Tyreek Hill who can, you know, bounce around like a pinball.
Mm-hmm.
They need something like that.
Speaking of Amari Rodgers, one of the receivers that we spoke to this week, Reggie Robertson from SMU, mentioned that the majority of his meeting with the Packers was about using him on special teams as a returner. I'm sure that they had that conversation with lots of guys, lots of skill guys, probably especially at receiver. But that's also what happened with Amari Rodgers last year and Kylin Hill. You know, they wanted a guy, they drafted a guy thinking he could come in and be a returner. Do you think that, you know, Kylin Hill getting hurt and then Amari Rodgers was the anomaly? Should you still try to draft a guy to come in and be your returner, or should you coach someone up over the years or try to go out and get a free agent?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Maybe you have to draft based on wide receiver and hope you have a really good special teams coach, hope he can turn him into a returner. But, you know, it sure helps if you can find a guy with natural skills. You know, they kind of pop up out of nowhere sometimes. It's like, okay, they've been hanging around the league, and then all of a sudden they're forced into returning, and then boom, they're like really good at it. So I think they're better off going for quality wide receivers, and if the return thing is part of his game, great. If it's not, then let the special teams coach figure out how they're going to get their return game going.
They have a new special teams coach in Rick Bisaccia, and we talked a lot about him this week with both general manager Brad Gutekunst and head coach Matt LaFleur. I know that you asked, and we all kind of asked, but you specifically, like, did Bisaccia come in with wanting say over personnel, drafting someone to be a returner? What sort of sense did you get after talking to Goody and Matt LaFleur about how the pecking order for making special teams decisions will change?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because Gutekunst was like, oh, we already do that, you know, which we know is probably not true. And LaFleur was like, yeah, we had a lot of discussions with him. He had a lot of discussions with Gutekunst about it. So, yes, my guess is he's like Aaron Rodgers. I want to be part of the discussion. You know, and you don't have to do what I say, but I want you to run that stuff by me, and I want to be able to suggest guys that I like and have some say over who they keep and don't keep. So no way he comes here without that kind of guarantee. And I wouldn't even be surprised if some of it was written into his contract. I'd love to see his contract. We never will, but I would love to see it.
Hey, you just got to know the right people.
Yeah, I don't.
Grease the right palms. We're kidding. Don't do that. Never do that. The kickers will be here tomorrow. We won't get to see them. But woohoo! I mean, when you look at, take the Cincinnati Bengals, for example, who had a lot of success this year, especially in the postseason, thanks to their kicker, who they took a risk in drafting in the fifth round, I believe it was, and it paid off for them. Do we think, and especially with somewhere like Green Bay, who might be losing Mason Crosby, who had some kicking operation problems last year, do we see that Bengals influence start to trickle down to other teams, possibly Green Bay, and drafting a kicker this year?
Boy, if you draft a kicker like that, I mean, that guy has supreme confidence to go with his leg. There's a lot of guys who have legs and don't have the confidence. And so the Bengals just, I mean, they hit on it. And I think the Packers are in on Mason Crosby if they're all in on this year. You know, they have some backup possibilities. If probably they take Crosby into the season and they kick these other guys and they see what happens. I mean, DJ Molson's been on this team a long time, and they protected him almost every week off the practice squad so that other teams couldn't sign him. And so they see something in him, and we've seen it in training camp. The guy is extremely consistent. So I still think we'll see. I don't think they're going to go out and use a pick on a kicker. I think they feel like they probably have two guys that they just picked up who could compete with Crosby.
completely different change of subject, but you mentioned the fact that they would protect Molson almost every week. Mm-hmm. Am I understanding correctly? So, side note, if you haven't heard, the NFL lifted all COVID protocols effective immediately this week. And so no more testing, no more everything. But with that came some of the changes to the practice squad that had been different during COVID. Some changes to the practice squad that I honestly thought would stick around even after protocols were lifted. The being able to protect a player, did I understand that correctly? They can no longer do that?
No, I did not hear whether they've changed the injured reserve rules. I think they're still talking about it, and they'll address it at the owners' meetings, which is, do they stick with that, the ability to bring up two practice squad guys, additional practice squad guys each week, injured reserve, everybody is eligible for designated to return. I think those are all great rules, and I think they made the game better. And, you know, the NFL needs to look at it and say, hey, maybe, you know, COVID gave us a reason to, you know, the good thing to come out of, one good thing to come out of COVID was it gave us a nice idea about how to make rosters competitive.
Well, one thing that I did see that I know for sure I'm remembering correctly is that practice squad numbers do drop back down to 14. They had been at 16. So they'll drop down to 14. And the one of the other bonuses was that you could have more veterans with accrued seasons, and that number has dropped again as well. And so it is going to be going back to more younger guys, you know, guys that are still in their first couple of years. And maybe that changes what they can do, you know, when it comes to manipulating the roster as well and roster management.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see for sure. Spoon, as we said, we were very focused on Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams this week. But that being said, just in talking to some of the guys, because I know we haven't gotten to see a lot of the drills and skills, but in talking to some of the guys, was there anyone that kind of stood out to you as like, hey, this is someone I personally am going to be keeping an eye on as we get closer to the draft as a possible Green Bay Packer?
You know, it's funny because I've been at some of these combines, and there's always two, three guys that you just absolutely have to follow, or you want to see them, you know, whether it was Baker Mayfield or you know, Myles Garrett, guys who you just knew were best players in the draft, and you wanted to hear from them. And there's nothing like that this year. Yeah. There's no, you know, there's no surefire number one pick.
I've heard three different names as a possible number one pick just over the past couple of days.
Yeah, and there's no quarterbacks who are, like, huge personalities. There's no Joe Burrow, you know. I shouldn't say Josh Allen because he really wasn't huge.
Right, not at the time.
Same with Justin Herbert. But, you know, there's just not that star factor at this combine. And that's what the scouts say about this draft, is that it's not that great at the top. But in the middle, it's really good. And you probably want to get as many draft picks as you can because the strength of it is probably like after the second round.
When you look at this draft, though, like you said, the strength of it, second round, mid rounds, is there a position that you think is a little bit stronger? And are any of, does that position coincide with something the Packers need?
Yes. I think the offensive line and wide receiver are strong positions. And both of those are areas the Packers could definitely tap. I think edge rusher is another area where they could get someone decent. If they have to get rid of Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, then they're going to need an edge rusher to pair with Rashawn Gary. So, yeah, I think it kind of does match up. They don't need a corner. They're okay there. I don't think it's a great corner class. You know, defensive tackles, I don't think it's great. I quarterback, it's not great. Running back, there's no Jonathan Taylor. I don't think it does match up with the Packers, yes.
Speaking of quarterback, something that we had kind of talked about this week was the Packers' affinity in the past for getting a quarterback that could come in and push their guy in camp and that could be developed and then traded away for picks down the road. A lot of attention, like you said, there's not a star quarterback, but attention is still gone towards Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, Kenny Pickett's hand size, Malik Willis, who could very well end up being the first quarterback taken.
Mm-hmm.
But one quarterback that I had mentioned that to a couple of people, and the name they immediately threw out was Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And said that would be a perfect guy for if the Packers wanted to take, you know, a day three guy that has the ceiling to come in and be developed for draft picks and, mm-hmm. and push Rodgers. Several different people, when that name got brought up, all said the same thing. They said he's not going to go in and just kind of let the first team defense run over him. He's going to try to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I remember you saying in the past that that's how Rodgers was when he was a younger guy,
Absolutely. Favre hated that, too.
Right.
You know? It was like, you know, stop being so cocky. You're on scout team.
Exactly.
You know? But, yeah, a guy like that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So if Rodgers stays, then I don't think they're in the market for a quarterback.
Okay.
If he goes, then they're definitely in the market for a quarterback. That's kind of how I see it.
Well, let me ask – I'm going to throw another question at you here then. I know that you and I have both heard that this quarterback class is so weak, both in the draft and, for that matter, in free agency, that if Jordan Love was in this draft, he would be the first quarterback taken.
I think that's true.
So would it be worth taking a quarterback late and trying to trade Jordan Love? Because, you know, we've been thinking for a while they wouldn't get much for him. But if this is such a quarterback-needy class and with quarterback-needy teams, could you maybe get more for Jordan Love than you think?
You could, but you'd be really risking. You can't think that, you know, a sixth-round pick is going to come in and if Rodgers gets hurt, lead you mm-hmm. to the Super Bowl. Well, maybe if you're Tom Brady.
I was about to say.
You know, but
there's always an exception.
Yeah, there's always an exception to the rule. That's the dilemma. You know, I would say, who cares, don't draft a quarterback. If there was a free agency class that was halfway decent,
uh-huh.
but it's a bunch of stumble bums mostly. And
you
that's
know, a good word.
Not guys, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky might end up being a starter in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And so instead of him being like, hey, that'd be a good journeyman to have, you know.
Yeah.
He's going to be a starter. Carson Wentz, who knows? He might
right.
be a starter somewhere. So I think they're going to be forced to keep Jordan Love this year if Rodgers stays, unless somehow some quarterback that they really love in the draft, you know, some guy who's really mature or some free agent suddenly becomes free. I think they're kind of screwed in that way because they got to keep him, and now's the time to trade him.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, and I'm not going to ask you about any specific prospect, but just in general, you know, it's pretty much a given you're going to lose one of the Smith brothers. Can you replace that sort of production with a rookie? No matter which brother or which guy it is?
No, more than likely you can't. You just can't get that kind of experience. You might be able to replicate the sacks if the guy is really good and he just, you know, turns out to be a special player, but you're not going to get the experience, the know-how. It's a transition. Now, they'll have to try to use what they got, you know, Jonathan Garvin and Tipa, Galea. I, if you have to start a rookie, great, but you're not going to probably do as good as Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith.
Right.
Just not.
Right. Spoon, it's been a fun week in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It's been beautiful weather. We soaked it up as much as we could, and now we return to the frozen tundra.
Yeah, well, we're all going to be locked in, waiting for locked in the house, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision.
That's
and then
true
once
too.
That's done, we'll all be free, and we can go about spring cleaning. You know?
Can't wait to hear that he's joining a Buddhist monastery.
Maybe he needs another cleanse. I don't know.
Maybe
I don't
so.
Want to think about it, but.
Spoon
it's
has
very
a,
possible.
Spoon has a really interesting column that's coming out this weekend. Make sure you give it a read about where the Packers kind of stand currently with their entire free agency situation with and how it relates to Aaron Rodgers. So make sure you catch that. And if you haven't caught up on our footage yet from the NFL Combine, make sure you do on PackersNews.com. And I know we have a couple more pieces coming over the weekend, so you can check those out as well. Spoon, final thoughts?
My final thoughts is it's been not the week I expected, but enjoyable nonetheless. And I'm sort of looking forward to going back and then looking at the draft guys.
Yeah.
Like, I should have been more focused on the draft, but I sort of now want to go back now that I've seen the guys run and heard some of them talk. Now I want to go back and study it and talk to people about them and sort of formulate. It's kind of the process has been all messed up because of what's going on. So
thanks, Aaron. Well, that is it from Indianapolis for us. I am Cassidy. He is Tom. We will be back next week. Stay tuned for full coverage of PackersNews.com as we get into free agency season. This has been the Green 19 Podcast, brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.
Green 19! Green 19! Green 19! Green 19!
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.